And as we do, I just wanted to mention a couple of things. And I mentioned this morning, Sister Latoya and Brother Chris doing a great job filling in for me while I was gone. I need to mention Sister Sonia and Brother Randy, who were the music last week, as everybody else was away. And appreciate them doing that. Summer is so much fun. And we also thank the Lord for the beautiful presence of the Lord that was here this morning. And Lynn received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was her first time here. And came with Alin. And so thankful for that. God is still pouring out His Spirit. God is still at work among His people. And I know that we've only begun to see a portion of what God wants to do among us. Tonight, I'm going to turn your attention to a familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm going to begin a evening. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. Well, I don't know how I shut off Siri. Siri wants to look at the Bible too. Now that is the very first time I've had it. Did anybody hear me say, "Hey Siri"? No? Okay. A new series. All right. Okay. So thank you, Siri. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. And we're going to read down to verse number 38. And read with me. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And tonight, I want to begin a new series for the next few Sunday nights. And our series is going to be harvest problems and how to fix them. Harvest problems and how to fix them. And I'm going to ask you to join with me in prayer, and then we'll get right into our first message in the series. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done already today. But Lord, I look forward with faith to what you're going to do in our hearts tonight. I pray that you will challenge us. I pray that you will inspire us. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will anoint us. Lord, that we can fulfill the mission that you've given to us as the church and that you've given to us as individual believers. And Lord, this we pray in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Naturally speaking, the harvest of food, the harvest of produce is important to us. Now I know that today with transportation and the way that things work, that food travels halfway around the world sometimes to get to your table, to get to the grocery store. But when there's a harvest failure, first of all, the price of food begins to go up because of supply and demand. You begin to pay a little bit more because there's a little bit less that was produced. Then it's followed by a scarcity of the product. Sometimes it happens that Stores just can't get that favorite thing that you want because the harvest failed. In extreme cases, and in other parts of the world, when the harvest fails, people go hungry. And sometimes they die. The failure of the harvest has great importance and great intent in their lives. But it's something that we don't think about when we go to the grocery store. We walk up and down the aisles of the produce and we see so many things there, and sometimes we complain about the prices because we don't understand the harvest. We go to the grocery store and not the field. And problems with the harvest can be caused because there's too much rain. Seems like this summer we've had way too much rain. But we just came back from the East Coast and they have the opposite problem where they haven't had any rain and the forests are closed and there's forest fires breaking out because there is no rain, and so the crops are stunted and they don't grow like they should. But when there's too much rain, the crops begin to rot because of the water that's on them and around them. Or there are pests that come through and that destroy the crop and hinder the growth. Or there's a shortage of labor or any number of any factors that affect the harvest. So I was thinking about our passage for tonight. I was looking at the chapter as it talks about the ministry of Jesus. And there were some great things that happened in this chapter. See, none of the Bible happens in a vacuum. There are things happening all around, statements that Jesus made. And so, as I read through this passage, I was struck by the things that we learn from Jesus about ministry and about life. And the words that we read tonight are challenging. As you look at them and as you read them, taken by themselves, the harvest is plenteous, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest field. Those words are challenging, but consider what was going on. Jesus was being opposed. His enemies were rallying against Him because of His popularity. He was seen as a threat to their leadership, to the power structure of the nation and of religion of that time. And He was opposed because He reached out to and He helped those who were outcasts. He helped those that others were not willing to help. He would touch the leper that others would pass by. He would heal a woman's daughter that others would have nothing to do with because of who she was and where she was from. In this chapter, He's just healed a couple of blind men who had been crying out for healing and worship. And these men begin to tell everybody about Jesus and about what had happened. And they couldn't keep quiet about it. Just after that, there was a man who was possessed of a demon who couldn't speak. And Jesus delivered him. And he began to speak, and the crowd was amazed, and they said, "We have never seen anything like this happen in Israel before. This is something that we have never seen." And while the people rejoiced, the enemies of Jesus were trying to destroy His reputation. You see, sometimes there are those who, when you try to do good, they will try to destroy your reputation. Sometimes it's because they're jealous. Sometimes it's because they're threatened. They were doing it to Jesus that day. They were saying that He was able to cast out demons because He was in league with Satan, that He was empowered by the devil. There's some things that we learn from what Jesus did. Because that very next verse, after they accuse Him, in verse number 35, part of our text, it said that as they were accusing Him, that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. There's an important lesson of life and a lesson spiritually as we attempt to do the will of God in our lives, in our ministries. And that is that you can never allow your detractors to determine your direction. You can never allow your detractors to determine your direction. You see, sometimes we allow those who have the most to say to determine the direction of our lives. But the thing you notice about Jesus is it didn't matter what his enemies were saying. It didn't even matter what the crowds were saying. Jesus had his heart, his mind, and his will fixed on doing the will of his Father. And so he continued on. They said, he's demonically possessed. He said, I'm going to heal somebody today. They said that he is of the devil. He said, I'm going to see somebody come out of darkness today. They said, it's only a ruse, it's a trick. He said, I'll show you how a demon-possessed man can be in his right mind. Because Jesus never allowed his enemies or his detractors to set his agenda. He never allowed them to set his course. And he showed it over and over again. It was like he was saying, say what you want. I'm not getting sidetracked from my purpose, my ministry, and my mission. As he continued to bring the power of God into people's lives, his enemies continued to rally against him to try to tear him down. But they couldn't stop him. They could say what they wanted, they could do what they wanted, but they couldn't stop him. And as he ministered, as they would follow along and as they would attempt to turn the people from him, Jesus didn't stop and allow them to set his agenda. He just said, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to cast out demons. I'm going to do the will of God. Sometimes in life, as you set out to do something for God, there will be opposition that will come along. There will be things that will happen. But like Jesus, you have to set your mind to the purpose that God's given to you. You have to set your mind to fulfill the will of God within your life and not be sidetracked by those who would detract from you. And so the crowds gathered. Jesus is speaking to them. They were hungry to experience the power of God within their lives. They had never seen anything like this before. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36, it said that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And this is New Living. He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They had no direction. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what they were doing. He said they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The people that they had been following had only confused them. And notice what the Bible says, that Jesus had compassion on them. As we kick off this series, the first thing I note about Jesus and the harvest is that Jesus could look at a crowd that was confused and helpless. And he didn't simply say, I'm going to fix you. The first thing was, he had compassion upon them. Compassion. He felt for them. As he looked at the crowd, he didn't see simply a huge gathering of people, but he saw individuals with needs. And he had compassion upon them. Sometimes living in our culture and in our time, we can begin to suffer from compassion fatigue. It's a very real thing. It happens when people have been compassionate, when they have felt for the needs of others, but they've been taken advantage of, or it's just happened over and over, and they're drained mentally and emotionally. Sometimes it happens in our culture because we're taught to be wary of every need that comes along in case it's a scam. And sad to say that often there are scammers that come along. Sometimes we become fatigued. Sometimes our first reaction is not, how can I help? But what is the underlying motive in the scam? Jesus had compassion on them. He looked at a crowd. I have no doubt that some of them were in the crowd that cried to crucify Jesus later. And Jesus, knowing all things, knew what would happen, but yet he had compassion on them. They hadn't done anything to deserve it. They hadn't earned it in any way. But Jesus looked at them with compassion. The first thing that we learn about our attitude towards the harvest is that there must be within us a heart of compassion that can see people not only for their failures and their faults. That's easy. Jesus could have pointed out every fault in the crowd. He could have begun to list every failure that there was in the group. But he didn't. He just had compassion on them. And sometimes what people need is not a listing of their faults and their failures. It's not for somebody to tell them how bad and how wrong that they've been. But it's for somebody to feel for them, to have compassion. See, sometimes people get themselves into messes of their own making. They end up there because of their own decisions and bad decisions. But Jesus didn't point to the crowd and say, everybody who's made bad decisions, move to this side. I'm going to have compassion on this side, the ones who have made good decisions. It just says he had compassion on them. But then he makes the statement that really is our text tonight. So he looks at the crowd with compassion. And he said, the harvest truly is plenteous. He spoke of the harvest. He spoke of a harvest of people, of souls. And he said, there's no problem with the harvest itself. The harvest is huge. The harvest is beyond what you can imagine. But he said, I see something here. While the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. The first problem related to the harvest that is part of the series is this. And Jesus identified it. He said, there's so much harvest around. But he said, the laborers are few. First thing we need to know about the harvest is the greatness of it. Larger than what the disciples could ever imagine. You see, as I looked at this passage, I realized one of the problems that Jesus was facing, and that was that very often the disciples thought the crowd was the problem. When the disciples looked at the crowd, they didn't see a harvest. They saw problems. When they looked at the crowd, they didn't look with compassion as Jesus did, seeing a harvest. They looked at the crowd and very often they saw a problem. You know, wherever you have people, there are always going to be some kind of problems. People, problems, they go together. And if you're not helping with a problem, maybe you have a problem. But people and problems go together. And the disciples had come to the place where they were looking at the crowd as a problem. You see, they saw the crowds of people coming around Jesus, and they saw them as a problem that kept them from their own routine. Master, send the crowds away. There's too many. They're bothering us. Send them away. They looked at the crowds and they saw a problem that created difficulties for them. How are we going to feed them? How are we going to deal with them? Master, send them away. We can't do this. They saw them as a problem that intruded on their own time, their private time, their face time with Jesus. And so they looked at the crowd as a problem. No doubt they knew some that were in the crowd, and they looked at them as an irritant. They didn't look at it as a harvest. They looked at it as a problem. As I read through this passage, my thought and my prayer was, dear Lord, don't ever let us come to the point where we see the harvest as a problem. You see, a harvest is disruptive. When farmers go out to harvest, they go from morning till night, and everything is focused on the harvest, but it's disruptive to the routine and the schedule. And the harvest can be disruptive to our schedule and routine and way of doing things, and it can challenge us. They saw it as a problem. You know that in Canada, only 27% of people attend religious services once a month. 27%. It's down from 43% in 1987. 27% once a month. I read that statistic. And now that's a problem. But that's also an opportunity. Yes, it's a problem that fewer people attend church. But yes, it's an opportunity, because when we look with the eyes of Jesus, we see the harvest around us. And rather than simply seeing a crowd of people, we begin to see people for whom Jesus died. And He died to save. The harvest. Jesus identified the problem as the laborers are few. The laborers can't make the harvest grow, but the laborers can step into the field to bring the harvest into the barn. I can't make the harvest myself, but I can step into the harvest. I can have a sensitivity to the needs of others who are around me to step into the harvest field. Jesus also spoke in John 4 and verse 35 and said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The harvest is ready. And I thank the Lord for what we've seen Him do here at West Island. I thank the Lord for every person who's walked through our doors and come to know Jesus. I'm thrilled about that. I'm so thankful that we've come to the point where we've been able to expand the building and we've been able to add more seats, and I'm thankful for all that. But the reason is not just to build a kingdom, and the reason is not just to say, well, it's bigger and it's better and we're more comfortable. But the reason is because of the harvest. The harvest. That while we've seen God do some wonderful things, I look back over the years, and you know, if everybody who came to know Jesus here and is still living for Jesus were here right now, there wouldn't be enough room. This building couldn't contain in any way. I'm thankful for that. But I'm also afraid. I'm afraid that it becomes easy for us to enjoy what God has done and to enjoy the harvest of days gone by and miss the fact that the harvest still is white. That the fields are white to the harvest. That there are still men, women, children that Jesus is reaching out to. There are people around us who, as they go to bed at night, are wondering why they're here. What value is life anyway? And Jesus is already talking to them. The harvest is great. But Jesus said, the laborers are few. He didn't say that the crop specialists. He didn't say that the biologists are few. He didn't say that those who have master's degrees in agriculture. He said, I'm looking for laborers into the harvest field. Because his next words were, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the field. I haven't come tonight to make us all feel guilty. But I have come tonight to challenge every one of us to understand that God places us where we are. And God brings us into the circumstances where we are for a purpose. And that harvest may be the person who sits next to you at work. That harvest may be that neighbor that has been a little bit difficult to get along with. That harvest may be the friend that you've known for years or the family member that hasn't wanted to hear anything about Jesus. But God uniquely places you in situations where He can work His will, His glory, and that lives can be touched for His kingdom. He doesn't say have a master's degree in divinity or a bachelor's of theology. Jesus just said, I'm looking and we need laborers to step into the harvest field. It may be teaching a home Bible study. It may be leading somebody to Christ at the office. It may be praying with somebody about a need that they're going through, a situation of life. Jesus said there's a big harvest. It's a huge harvest. It just needs laborers. Sometimes we think, well, you know, Pastor, that's what religious professionals are for. But Jesus called every one of us as believers to be salt and light in a world that desperately needs Him. And tonight as we stand together, I ask you, can we see the harvest? Can we see the need of large groups of people? Can we see the need of those who are around us that we interact with? And can we understand that, like Esther in the Old Testament, that God puts you in your section, your part of the harvest field? Your harvest field may be your family, or it may be your workplace. It may be your neighborhood. But that God places you there uniquely for somebody who will come across your path. And tonight, I want to invite us all to find a place to pray. To pray a prayer of commitment that simply says, Lord, I'm willing to step into the harvest field and be aware. Lord, I'm willing to speak when I have the opportunity, and I'm willing to be your hands and feet when I have the opportunity. Because I want to see the harvest. Not only in the church, but someday I want to see that harvest in heaven. I may not be able to win the whole world. I may not be able to do what other people can do. But I can certainly step into my corner of the harvest field to say, Jesus, just use me to touch a life. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you for your voice that speaks into our hearts. And Lord, as we've gathered here tonight, I pray you'll challenge every one of us deep inside. Lord, with fresh compassion. Lord, with a fresh view of the harvest. And Lord, with a fresh willingness to say, Lord, help me, use me in the harvest. Lord, I ask you that you would just right now move by your Spirit in our lives. Move by your Spirit in our lives right now, Jesus. Lord, that we'll have a different view of the harvest. Lord, give us the opportunities. Lord, and give us the courage and the faith to step into those opportunities. Lord, let it be that we're amazed at how you bring the harvest to us as we step in your purpose in our lives. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing this song, and as we do, I'd like to invite you. The altar's open for prayer. Would you make it a commitment to the Lord? Lord, I'm going to be aware. Lord, create in me that compassion that you had for the lost. And Lord, give me the courage, give me the faith, give me the strength that I need to be able to speak or to act, to see the harvest that you want. Let's sing as we find a place to pray.
I am Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Here.